I thank the distinguished representative of the UK for his statement and for the clarifications provided. So I think that we are ready to jump into topic number 6. Risk mitigation and confidence building measures. So as usual, I'll precede the discussion with some remarks of my own. Like this morning's topic, risk mitigation and confidence building measures are also staple of the GGE debates. It's enshrined in two guiding principles, G and F, and has been addressed in the 2018 and 2019 reports. Going through those reports, we can identify that there is an evolution of positions. In 2018, the subject was presented with some caveats, with terms like, quote, were feasible and appropriate, unquote. In 2019, however, delegations agreed that, and I quote, the risk of incidental loss of life, injuries to civilians, and damage to civilian objects must be considered, unquote. Similarly, guiding principle G states, and I quote, risk assessments and mitigation measures should be part of the design, development, testing, and deployment cycle of emerging technologies in any weapon systems, unquote. I take it as a good sign that the similarities that different proposals are presenting on this subject. There are, of course, differences in terminology and classification. For example, risk assessments, risk mitigation, and safeguards. Moreover, some proposals introduce a series of existing risks to be tackled, such as proliferation, acquisition by terrorist groups, cyber attacks, hacking, and data spoofing. Nonetheless, the common thread among all proposals is the inescapable need to minimize risks of unintended engagements, harm to civilians, and destruction of civilian objects. And perhaps here we have to think about do not justify military need. Regarding possible proposals to mitigate those risks, there is an overlapping with measures to ensure compliance with international humanitarian law and adequate human intervention / meaningful human control. Indeed, among the proposed mitigation measures, some contributions include limits on types of targets and geographical scope, efforts to reduce automation bias, and incorporation of mechanisms of self-destruction or self-deactivation. Other valuable measures would consist of means to enhance control or improve decision-making, such as through actions related to timing, precision, and accuracy. Many proposals also mention capacity building activities, exchange and cooperation initiatives, which are translatable in confidence building measures. The overlapping of initiatives is not per se a cause for concern. What preoccupies some delegations is the possibility of confusing risk mitigation measures with obligations and requirements that derive from international humanitarian law principles, such as distinction and precaution. So it is less a matter of substance and more of how states should understand and carry on those measures or initiatives. This can be a second step in our deliberations. First, we assess what needs to be done and how to do it. how to design a language on possible measures, and then we determine the nature of such measures. Should they be a shared standard, a political commitment, or a legally binding rule? I would very much like to register the growing consensus on the usefulness of imposing limits on scope, time, targets, and other parameters. This is a good starting point. We can define subsequent steps after accepting this as a central convergence. As long as we keep all options on the table, so as to reassure all delegations that a step-by-step approach will not be limited to a single solitary step. I look forward to hearing your views on this topic. Thank you. The floor is open for interventions on topic 6, and I always know that it's somewhat challenging for anyone to venture first, but I can tell you that it's worth trying. Not surprisingly, who always comes to my rescue, the delegation of Turkey. You have the floor, sir.